Author and humorist Matt Geiger is the carny of stories as he sets out to astonish us with his newest book, Astonishing Tales, Stories and Essays. Your astonishment may vary. Finding the awe in everyday, the humor in the mundane, he tells tales of parenting, competitive axe throwing, death, the holidays, and much, much more. From the 83-year-old model whose image adorns the cover of the book, to the two-headed calf he discovers in a rural gas station, he finds reason after reason to smile, nod, and be astonished by everyday life. And we welcome him to 15 with the Author. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm. So I Googled Matt Geiger. I really did have to see the first person that came up. Yeah, you weren't it. Some basketball
guy? I
knew
that was coming, yes.
Oh my goodness. So I really, as we move on into the story of the Easter eggs, I just love that. And trying to explain English language to your 2-year-old, did that really happen?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, at least as I, that's why it says your astonishment may vary, because I'm well aware of the subjective nature of existence and the flaws that are inherent in human memory. So, yes, as far as I recall, that's how it happened.
Well, I love the idea of letting go of those arbitrary rules. So why don't you kind of expound on that story a little bit for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, that's very much, that's sort of a quintessential story in this book. That's very much the model upon which most of these stories are based. And the central idea, and like most of my stories, it tends to go all over the place before it's done. But, you know, I have a 4-year-old daughter, which is a wonderful just way to experience life with a 4-year-old. And we made Easter eggs a couple years ago. I think it was when she was 3, maybe when she was 2. We made Easter eggs for Easter. We have chickens in the backyard, and we collected eggs, and we boiled them, and we dyed them. And then a short while later, a couple weeks later, she asked if we could make Easter eggs again. And I think I write with the well-worn confidence of an imbecile. I said, of course we can't. It's not Easter. It's not. And I realized I don't even know on what day Easter falls. And I suddenly realized, of course we can make Easter eggs. We can make them whenever we want. And that story is about not just Easter eggs, but, of course, all these arbitrary rules that we're handed as we grow up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously we want certain rules in our society and things like that, but there are so many of them that are antiquated or just plain useless or counterproductive. And letting go of those, I think, is wonderful. And I think that's one of the benefits of having a small child to live your life with, is you get to see that.
Oh, definitely. And I love the way your mind just kind of skims and swims over and through lives. You really do give us different ways to look at, you know, what we kind of call our same-o days.
Yeah.
Does this stuff just pop into your head? Do you write draft after draft?
I do. This book was really long, actually, but when it was initially written, which, as you know, you have a copy, it's not that long. But there is a central idea behind all of it, and the idea is to live deliberately and to look at things. And not just for me as a writer, I mean, who cares about me and how I live my life, but for everyone, especially people who happen to read these stories. I always say, if you write a good horror novel, you're not just scaring people when someone jumps out of the shadows on page 59 or whatever. A really good horror novel will scare them a week later when they go into the basement to get something out of the freezer. It will make them more scared in their everyday life. And the idea of this is a book of humor, and the idea is to make people see things better and see more beauty and humor in everyday life. And the idea behind it kind of is from Chekhov, and it's that idea of astronomy, which is a Russian word. There's no English word for it. Which means to make weird, to take everyday things and everyday moments and objects and ideas and to look at them, to see how weird they are, to see them differently and kind of jar your perception. And that's where that comes from. That's what that's all based upon.
And I really like, we're talking with Matt Geiger. He is the author of Astonishing Tales. And I really love the story of the two-headed calf. I have to ask you, Tell us a little about that story. And was that in a Wisconsin rural gas station?
Yes, it was.
Yay to the cheesehead.
It has cheese and sausage, and you know, it's so that was and actually that was initially a piece I recorded on Wisconsin Public Radio for a thing called Wisconsin Life. But I was driving home from a book reading I did actually, and I stopped in a gas station, and there was a two-headed calf stuffed and mounted on the wall above a massive display case full of cheese and cheese curds and things, because once again, Wisconsin.
It's, yeah.
And I asked the guy working there about it, and I said, you know, what's the deal with that? And he said, with what? And I was like, yeah, with the mutant animal on the wall over there. And he was like, oh yeah, that. I don't know. And I was like, okay. Don't a lot of people ask about it? And he said, no, I think most people don't notice it.
Oh.
And it was once again that thing where we're so sleepwalking through our lives. Oh, yeah. It made me think of that really funny joke in the movie Shaun of the Dead, where everyone in London turns to a zombie, but the main character doesn't even notice for a really long time. He makes it all the way to, he's on his way to work, and just everyone's just usually kind of sleepwalking through life, so he doesn't even notice they're zombies. So I decided I was going to see it and get to the bottom of it, and I found the owner, and it was a real calf. It wasn't like stitched together to be a two-headed calf. She was born with two heads, and her back broke when she was being delivered, and she died. She was alive. She got to be alive. I'm lucky enough to have been alive for 39 years, and she got to be alive for a moment, you know, 30 seconds, whatever. And then she died. And what I thought of, and this is the Making It Strange thing, is that that glint that we don't understand, that life, whatever it is, it went out of her four eyes, not her two.
Mm-hmm.
And that weirdness, you know, and I was thinking how beautiful it was, and in a weird way, you know, they mounted her and put her on the wall, and now it's Christmas time, so they have antlers on her, and there are lights around her and things, and they call her Hetty and kind of celebrate her, and I thought that was weird and beautiful as well.
Well, and I think that's what's an interesting take on it, because a lot of people go, oh my God, that's just disgusting and gross.
Yeah, well, it is ghastly in a way, right? I mean, it's certainly, yeah. But it can be both.
Exactly. Oh, man. Well, and you are a journalist by trade, so
yes.
That's your curiosity is always piqued.
Yes.
And one of the stories that you tell is about the woman on the cover.
Yeah, Bonnie.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's, so that story, that's one of the long, these are pretty short stories as a rule, but that's one of the longer ones in the book, and it's about a few things, but, so Bonnie Logan is her name, or one of her names. She's had many names through the years. And she's 83 now, and she's going to be at my book launch party with me, actually, in a couple days.
Oh, cool.
She was a farm kid from the Midwest, and she did that thing that you kind of hear about sometimes, where one day when she was a teenager, she told her parents, I'm walking out the door, and I'm going to go be a big star. Right?
Yep.
And she went to L.A., and she went to Hawaii, and she went to all these different places. And she was. She was a pinup back in the day. This was the 50s and 60s, the days of those really kind of garish men's magazines and things. And then she was a burlesque performer, and she's a beautiful singer. And now she's 83, and she lives back in the Midwest, and she sings in the church choir. And, you know, so many people would see her in the grocery store or something and see a quote-unquote little old lady. And kind of just marginalize her in that way, and just assume she doesn't have some amazing story to tell. And I love that there's so much beneath her. There's so much. She has experienced so much. Beautiful and tragic, too. I mean, she's treated terribly. I mean, she was in an industry where women are treated terribly, and in a time in particular where they're treated terribly.
Mm-hmm.
But she managed to compile this remarkable life. And so I love that story. Once again about looking deeper and really seeing someone, not just something, but someone, and the stories they have to tell.
And it's something that it helps us remember that with everybody. You know, you look at people down the street, and we are so quick to also pass judgments on people, like,
yeah.
You know, the little old lady or the the kid that, you know, looks like he's kind of a jerk, and
yeah.
You know what, he's probably maybe something's going on, and looking deeper and finding some of that other humanity in the stories too, and in the stories of people. We're talking with Matt Geiger. He is the author of Astonishing Tales. And I have to tell you, I love this book, and I haven't had time to finish it, which is driving me crazy, because it's, I would highly recommend Astonishing Tales. It is a blast to read. Yeah, and it's your second book. How does that feel?
It feels wonderful. it feels really good and terrifying. You know, it's all the things that any significant thing in life feels. But what I like about this one in particular is that I got to do it a second time, because any time, the first time you do anything, you don't, the first time I made a loaf of bread or whatever, it didn't really go that well. And I hope some people liked my first book, but it was really cool that I got to make a second book as well. So I'm excited about it. I really am.
Yeah, well, it is. It's definitely a joy to read. That's for sure.
Thank you.
And it's the you don't have to just sit down and devour the whole thing at once. And it's one of those books you can also go back to and kind of, oh yeah, that's right, I remember that. But I have to say, I guess I picture you as having post-it notes everywhere. How do you keep track of some of these jumbled things? What's your process for that?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm sitting right now I'm in my house in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I live in Wisconsin right now. And I'm in a room that is, I'm sitting amidst hundreds, if not thousands, of books, and all of them dog-eared, and all of them with just random scraps of paper marking certain pages. And I'm always kind of stealing ideas in that way, because ideas come to me when I'm reading. But then also my phone is, I don't really drink that much anymore, but I used to drink quite a bit, and there'd always be that the next morning after you drank too much, how you'd have a scrap of paper in your pocket with notes that made no sense whatsoever, but that, you know, seemed very profound the night before.
I'm sure they
my
were.
Phone is, yeah, my phone's kind of become that. I have a lot of notes that out of context are kind of elusive to me, but in my phone, for things I want to write about.
Yeah, kind of. It is the age of not so many post-it notes. It's in the phone. So, what is there another book brewing, or are you just basking in the glow of Astonishing Tales at the moment?
Well, I am. I'm always writing, but I don't know. I'm so focused on this right now. Who knows what exactly will happen next? But I write for a living, so I'm always writing. So yeah, I'm working on a lot of things as we speak. But I am. I just recorded the audiobook of this, and that'll be out at the beginning of the year. And so I had to reread my own book, which is
what was that like?
It's a surreal experience, actually. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone unless they really are narcissistic. I don't think I like myself enough to enjoy it. But that was a cool experience. So I'm focused in on this. But yeah, I have some other ideas that I kind of know what they're about that are in my phone.
Oh, wonderful! Yeah, a piece here, a piece there. Well, yeah. I'm like I said, excited to finish the book and also to see what's ahead for you. And I just have to mention that you are talking to Minnesota, and we just beat the Packers. So there you go.
Thanks for throwing that in there.
Yeah, well, you know. Matt, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And again, once again, folks, the book is Astonishing Tales, Stories and Essays. Your astonishment may vary. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for having me on.